Andrew Luck, Carson Palmer. Let's see who else we have. We will go way back machine. We got Dan Fouts.
Mm-hmm.
We got Troy Aikman.
Mm.
Warren Moon.
Ooh.
A guy named John Elway.
Oh, wow. Stanford, right?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
So there have been some quarterbacks from the defunct Pac-10/12.
Mm-hmm.
Have been some.
Just a few.
Historically.
Just a few. If you ever go to that little museum off the E-Way in Canton, they talk about this museum. They talk about football a lot in that museum. I forget the name of it. You will see a lot of Elway in there, like wall-to-wall Elway. Make you think he might have, you know, kind of goalie.
Have you ever seen Warren Moon's numbers when you add up like his all of his professional football? Staggering.
Warren Moon was like that.
Goat.
Alex Smith. We threw a little Utah in there. Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers didn't have that one in there. Jared Goff recently.
Herbert. Ooh,
Aaron Rodgers tips the scales pretty hard, I think.
Are you telling me the Pac-12 quarterbacks are kind of all right in the NFL? Is that what you're trying to tell me, B-Dirt?
Haven't been too bad.
All right. Sign me up.
Haven't been too bad.
which is why you want to pick Caleb, right?
I mean, that's not why, but sign me up.
Yeah, I'm out on it, dude. I'm out on him. I don't know. He is very accurate, though. I will give him that. Like watching him play football, very, very, very accurate passer. I like that.
Who's getting a 1-800 call collect?
Ain't it?
Somebody getting a jail call.
All right. Well, I guess we're the homies lighting the tail feathers here with three of us instead of four. We'll say what up, chat fam. We appreciate you joining us and rocking with us as always. Hit that like, subscribe. We know most of you that are on here are lifers, man, been with us for a while. We appreciate you. Share us with a friend. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Come on over. Check us out. Spotify, Apple, YouTube, whatever you want to do.
Overtime time.
That's a good stuff. The Quad Father said that was Atlanta calling about Fields, Pay.
Oh.
Yeah, I wish it was. It makes sense.
Since how it sounded like a rotary phone. It makes sense. Because Atlanta is the only type of franchise who's stuck in the past.
There we go. All right. They're drafting futuristically. Don't get it half the time, but man, we'll see what they do. So I am going to be driving a little bit here on OT with some of my topics that I want to cover. So now we still have the fork in the road. We still have the fork in the road. So if anybody super chats, we'll go over to whatever subject you have. But I'm going to start it off. I'm going to stay on the NFL. So we kind of glossed over last week, newly increased salary cap that was $13 million higher than projected. Was projected to go to 242, went to over 255, I believe it was, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right around that number. First of all, the rich get richer, right? The NFL is a powerhouse. They just making money hand over fist. Everything they touch turns to gold.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think this will do as far as affecting free agency and team building in general? Does it give anybody a jump on things or anything? Big G, how you thinking, man? What are you thinking about this? see any changes coming up with it?
Yeah, early on, some of those bottom feeder teams that have struggled, like the Bears, the Washington Commanders, teams that have a lot of cap space available right off the bat, this almost levels the playing field because they're able to land high paid and who maybe be high performance players on the field. But ultimately, it'll trickle to where some of those teams might not have the bargain of the money because they've invested in players that they have to stay with the franchise longer. So I think it's going to create some parity maybe in the league because some teams have a lot of money this season. In particular, like I said, the Bears and like the Commanders, they got a lot of bread, bro. And then you just gave them more money on top of it. But ultimately, when contracts start having to be paid and you start having to pay for quarterbacks and all that other stuff, it'll ultimately be equal, in my opinion, across the board. And the revenue should continue to go up year after year after year after year after year based on people watching the game, you know? So I think it's a good thing for the league, definitely.
What about you, Pay?
First thing that came to mind was, I told y'all Taylor Swift was good for football.
Big facts. big old huge facts.
So next thing is, I'm a little bit piggy off of what Big G's saying, but as he said, teams that have more money to spend, obviously. But as you've seen, they ain't started spending none of it yet. Franchise tag window's been open for what, almost a week?
Yeah.
Closes in what, a little more than 72 hours? Ain't nobody getting no money. You saw all those running backs? Ain't nobody getting no money. So it could be, you know, these guys that they can pay right now, they're not worthy of that more money. They just are the market is what they are, and they're just not going to pay that. Or, you know, NFL owners saying, you know what, I'm going to stick to the floor. I'm going to keep some of this money in my pocket for just a little while. Just a little while.
I also think that there's probably a little bit of, let's see what's getting ready to happen, because there's still seven teams right now, even with the extra $13 million, that are upside down on the salary cap.
Mm-hmm. Big facts.
Miami Dolphins are getting ready to get an extension to Tua. They're already $28 million upside down.
Mm-hmm.
The Buffalo Bills are $41 million upside down.
Woo!
Like, there's going to be a lot of people cut. There are going to be good pickups for some other teams.
We say that every year, and it never really happens that way. The New Orleans Saints were like $130 million upside down last year or the year before last. What happens is they just restructure a couple of guys, get them – turn that money into bonuses and may cut maybe one guy. And it's never
going to be one. Listen, the Saints have been better about that than a lot of other teams. I think the Dolphins will be okay with that, but you've already seen them make a couple cuts.
Yeah, they cut Xavier Howard. They cut the running back. I'm not the running back, the linebacker. What's his name? Yoder or something like that?
Defensive lineman.
Yeah.
They're going to cut Williams too. They're going to cut the center Williams too, Pay.
Yeah.
He out of there.
Buffalo doesn't do that historically. Buffalo doesn't historically do that. Who are their big contracts? Are they willing to move them around? Stephon Diggs ain't helping them at all.
Stephon Diggs went up out of there, beat her.
Yeah.
Stephon said he never said that.
Man, stop it. Come on, man.
His brother did.
Yeah, big facts. His brother said, "Go."
Does your brother speak for you, Big G?
When they talk about bread, maybe sometimes.
While we're on the subject of brothers and money, shout out to our homie adjacent, Mod. Happy birthday, bro!
Happy birthday, little bro!
Happy
birthday to you! Happy birthday to you!
I'm not paying you, but happy birthday.
Mm-hmm.
So Tate, everybody has avoided part of this question. Do you think this is going to affect free agency? Not necessarily just the tag market, but free agency. Do you think guys maybe like T. Higgins that was wanting $24 million to sign a long-term deal, now does he ask for more? Or do you see it affecting it in some way, shape, or form?
I think all the guys I think all the teams, let's start with the team first. All the teams, man, are going to be able to, because you said it was a jump from what they were expecting, 13 to 30.
It was a $13 million jump from 242 to 255.
Also, it went from, okay, to 30 from 17 they were going to get. So, I think that $13 million allows you to either keep a player you didn't think you could keep or bring in a player you didn't think you can bring in. So, it does help everybody across the board. Because everybody has that extra, you know, capital to play around with. I mean, some teams still got to get their, but some teams got the bump and still got the books read, you know? So those teams got to do something different. Buffalo comes right to the top of my mind. Who's another team way down there?
Miami.
Buffalo, Miami, Chargers, Broncos, New Orleans Saints, Dallas Cowboys, and San Francisco 49ers all upside down.
Hey, yes. Harbaugh about to cook the books, though, for real. He cooking the books.
He can't.
I wouldn't be surprised to see him cut some guys either.
Yeah, he can come in and start eating money. He can cut Keenan Allen. He can cut the kid from Clemson, Mike Williams. They're not going to bring Eckler back.
Oh, Mike Williams is already out the door.
Garbage bags packed.
No.
He might already be in the trainer's table.
Garbage bag status is he out of there.
I got a comment here by AFL67 for, believe your Steelers here. It says, I want the Miami center that opens the draft up for us at cornerback, right tackle, inside linebacker.
I already told Tate that. We was talking about it the other day. I want Williams, and I would rather have him than maybe getting, not necessarily Zach Frazier, but Van Pan or Johnson, Powers Johnson, nah. I would take Williams, yeah, over Van Pan, yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Quad Father here got to restructure Allen in Buffalo and trade Diggs. Problem solved. $40 million. That's a lot to come out of pocket with, especially when you're right now building a new stadium.
And they still got Von Miller on the books. They still got Von Miller on the books.
Straight dude. I think Von Miller's out of there though. I think they're gonna cut him.
Yeah.
I think they're gonna cut. They chopping him. He gone.
He's still going to have part of it guaranteed, though.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, think a team like Denver. Denver's cooked. They're going to cut Russi. They ain't going. And they got to eat all that money. They got to eat it all.
I'll tell you something a little bit outside of the – kind of looking at it from a different angle. I think the salary increase really being more than what we expected – I think the guys, the teams that got their quarterback deals done the past 2 years puts them a little bit farther ahead of the books.
Big facts. Mm-hmm. Big facts, I agree.
Mm-hmm. Now you got a restructuring in Dallas where Big G's favorite player is asking for $60 million a year.
Y'all see why I call him Big Trash? Y'all see why I call him Big Trash? Big Trash, Dak Prescott.
Dak Prescott, $60 million a year.
He garbage, man. He garbage.
He gonna get so much money. He gonna get it. He's gonna get 60. He gonna get it.
Trash. You're paying $60 million for a dude that can't even get you past to the freaking NFC Championship game.
Happy birthday, Mark.
That's rough, man.
Can't even get you to the NFC Championship game, let alone the Super Bowl. You know you big trash. And asking for 60, please stop it.
Hey, man, buyer's market.
Hey, so I don't know what Mod asked for his birthday, but what he's getting is handcuffed by an average quarterback.
Whoa. I was going to let the disrespect slide when G said bottom fielders and name my squad. But I can't let you do that to Dak. He's not average. He's not average.
He's above average, but okay, he's above average, but I got him. Listen, at one point in time last year, I had him top three, and then he dacked the rest of the year. The rest of the year, he dacked.
He was having the best season.
Hey, what do you say? Water finds its level.
Water will find its level. That's correct. And you were right. He was having an MVP season up until like week 11, 12, something like that. Mm-hmm. Around that back end of November. Then he found his level.
Until he ran into a good team, man. He ran into Buffalo. And Miami beat him in Miami.
Mark Tobin's got it. That's the comment right there. Above average bum.
Big facts.
Hey, put some respect on 60 million man, man. $60 million man.
You can't be mad at him.
Mm-mm. Horrible.
All right. NFLPA franchise scores came out. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start this off by saying the Dolphins had the number one score. If you guys have not seen the scorecards, they're pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. For the NFLPA report cards, who had the number 32 in last place? NFLPA report cards, you guys know?
I don't know.
Let me guess.
I know
let me guess. 28, though. Let me get. Oh, okay. Don't put the cart before the horse, G. let me guess. Number 32. Would it be? It's got to be somebody that we would never consider, right? Would it be the defending Super Bowl champions?
Ding, 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 ding.
What? Kansas City was 32.
The guys with 32. The hardware got the worst score. And they got an A+ on their coach.
Big facts. Was he number one? Wasn't he the number one coach? I think he was either number one or number two.
They literally just give him A+, B+, C+,
Right.
Yeah. So
I heard that an issue with Arrowhead is that they don't have working showers. They got to share showers.
Yeah.
They don't have hot water. That sounds like a FedEx Field type of issue, but wow. And they suffered through all that emphasis. I mean, quotes on suffered. They suffered through all that and still went out there and beat y'all butts in the playoffs. You know what? The rest of you, soft.
They might get a new stadium, y'all. They're going to do some renovations. I think they're going to invest some of that bread.
Even with an old stadium, your Bears squeaked in the top 10.
What was the coach?
Ownership was B+. Head coach was a B.
Mm-hmm. They like
my God. There ain't no way.
They like Flu.
It's about how they like them, man.
They like Flu.
Locker room was an A-, had the fourth best locker room in the league. Cafeteria food C, team travel B, treatment of family C+, training staff B, weight room A, nutrition dietitian C+, strength coach B.
They got a weight room.
A weight room is immaculate.
That's boss. That's boss.
The one thing I did pick. I want to highlight what you just said there, B Dirt, and this is a segue if you like. They said the food was a C. Yeah, I heard that one of our teams they only got three meals a day, like once out the week. Other than that, they had to bring a bag lunch. What was that?
So that's the Cincinnati Bengals here, who Bengals report card left them ranked. I don't see the overall ranking, but left them pretty close to the bottom.
I think they were 24, if I remember correct.
That is correct.
Treatment of families was an F-, 32nd in the league. Food cafeteria.
Big trash.
32nd in the league. Nutritionist, 32nd in the league. So the thing about this, right? So last year we had really bad grades on training facilities and those in a weight room and all that kind of stuff. Those are all now top 10 scores for us.
Mm-hmm.
Locker room.
We just got to work on being better people.
Locker room was a D+, and that is under construction already. That was the next thing that was done. So, okay with that. Coach was an A. Ownership was a C+, which is an improvement for us, believe it or not. strength coach, A-, team travel, C. So what really is that they only gave three meals. They were one of two teams that did not give three meals a day during work days. They only gave three meals a day on Wednesdays. So that's an easy fix, man. That's an easy fix. It's not a lot of money. And based upon what they did last year, fixing the problems that were on this, I think this is something you'll see. The treatment of families is a reflection on they didn't have game day childcare. So they want somewhere where they can have childcare on game day in the facility, and someone at Union brought up a lactation room. So those are things that to me easy fix.
I got to challenge you there, B. I got to challenge you there. You say it's an easy fix. I have a question. Who's the long standing owner of the Cincinnati Bengals?
Mike Brown.
Mike Brown. What was the major criticism of Mike Brown? Starts with a C. Not the city.
Oh, that he was cheap.
Oh, there we go. There we go. Yeah. And you say food is a
so
beating these players more is going to be an easy fix? I don't know. It's
not blood. Yeah, I do, because Katie Blackburn has taken over most of the day-to-day operations, his daughter. And that's a good move, Peter. The training room and training facilities and weight room, they built an indoor facility last year when they got that negative thing. That's millions of dollars.
Yep, they did.
To feed people for the year for 8 months, an extra meal 3 days a week.
Hey,
come on, man.
Winners bite the bullet and get
that's what I'm saying. I think it's an easy fix, and they recent history has said they have fixed issues that they saw on here.
That's logistics, bro. That's all logistics and planning.
And nutritionists aren't, I mean, it's not like you're gonna pay a nutritionist $7 million. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You can hire a really good nutritionist for $150,000. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Oh yeah. That's not even a full-time gig for them.
They prepping and watching, paying attention.
All they're doing is working with the staff. They're working with the staff to make meals and to make plans for different players.
Big facts. That's big facts.
If there was any NFL nutritionist getting paid $150 or less, I would be shocked.
Tate, I need you to research that.
I agree.
All right.
You're right. You're right.
Bengals at 24, not the lowest of the teams on our homies podcast here. The Pittsburgh Steelers, 28th in the league. Treatment of families, F-.
Food trash.
Cafeteria, B-. Nutritionist, D. Ranked 30th in nutritionist, 30th in locker room. 29th in training room, 28th in training staff, 24th in weight room,
big trash,
20th in strength coach, 28th in travel, head coach, fifth.
A. No, head coach never F.
Fifth. One, two, fifth, three, four. Yeah.
Fifth.
Yeah, fifth. A head coach. A.
Only room.
Ownership.
31st.
F-. A lot of that I'm hearing has to do with Pittsburgh sharing the facilities with Pitt. So it's not room for them to do everything that they maybe would do if they had the space to do more. So that's kind of viable with the facilities, the weight room, and, I don't know what we talking about grown men, what they do for your family. I mean, I don't know how that one works for me.
Afton Ford coming through. Nutritionist averaged $61,000 in 2021.
Well, nutritionist for the NFL.
I was trying to give him almost three times that. So
stadium attendance, like the guys that pick up the towels and stuff like that. I know for a fact they make around 80. So I cannot think a nutritionist is pulling in 150.
Gotta
believe it's more.
Tate, I agree that they got to separate a little bit from the University of Pittsburgh. Well, how they're going to do it and what they're going to do, because they share a stadium, and that sucks. That's really hard. That's a hard deal, bro. And it's not like a huge stadium. It's not like you're down there in Dallas with that mega field that they got, or out there in San Francisco, brand new Santa Clara, or even out in Las Vegas. Chicago. Well, there's talk. The Bears might get something. There's some talk about some stuff going on with Chicago.
Yes,
talk about it. Yeah. They talking about doing something nice and indoors. So I done heard all of that mess. But yeah, sharing a field with a college, sharing a field with a college team is a hard deal, bro. But that ain't got nothing to do with Mr. Rooney, though. And I ain't letting Mr. Rooney off the hook. No. Mr. Rooney, you got to do better, dog. You got to do better. There's no way you should have got no F minus. There's no freaking way. You got to do better. And maybe that's what all this chatter has been about with him being out there, talking to the media, doing all the other stuff that he's been doing lately. Maybe that's Mr. Rooney trying to, you know, be a little bit better. But all those Steeler fans that's been blaming Tomlin, talking about Tomlin, the issue and all whatever else, how come Tomlin got an A? And like my man B. Dirt said, a top five. Tomlin got a, he's a top five coach. And that's 1,776 players voting on it. He was a top five. Come on, dog. Stop it with the nonsense about all them Tomlin haters and bashers out there. He ain't the issue. He's not.
In 2018, NFL dietitian average salary was $123,000 a year.
Wow.
It's not about right. It's not about right.
That's the best I could find on short notice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tate, what do you think about that? Are you hard on the Roonies, or where do you think? I know that you, sharing the thing, that's a county thing, right? Because the stadium's owned by Allegheny County, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what's the is there an answer with sharing that field? They also play high school games and stuff there too. They get the playoffs,
state championship.
Yeah, I think Art Rooney has taken a step back because he's not, his grandfather is not his dad, and that's what people expect him to be because he bears a Rooney name, but he's not the same guy. But you know, I think he reacts to results, to the results of the testing he's seen and stuff like that. I think he definitely reacts. So we'll see where it goes from here.
Now, listen, I think we're all pretty pro treating people right, having great facilities in the NFL and all those kind of things. Mm-hmm. But obviously this is not a reflection on winning or losing.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs, the Steelers, some of the more dominant Chiefs, Bills, Steelers, yeah, more, some of those more dominant AFC teams for you some, know what it looks like.
Some teams, some coaches just view it doing it in an old school way. That's all it is.
Those franchises are still doing well. All right, so we're going to switch it up a little bit. Before we get into talking different sports, this is the reason why overtime exists, so that the four of us that normally chop it up about other different things jump into some different topics for you. We're going to take a quick break, hear from our partners, and then we'll come back and we will get into basketball and spring training starting. We'll be right back after this quick break. All right, welcome back to the Homies Overtime Podcast. We got all the fellas here, Tate, Pay, Big G, and running the point for the team today is me, B Dirt, aka B Dirt, Brandon Harriet here. We're gonna jump into some basketball, man. Father Time getting beat again. Tom Brady beat him last few years, and LeBron's on that path right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wrote this before I saw the game against the Wizards, but LeBron took over the game against the Clippers.
Killed
the team that right now a lot of people are saying could win the NBA title.
No one's saying that.
Yeah, watch national news. I've watched ESPN and Fox. I've seen analysts on both saying they've got a chance to win.
They're doing their thing. They're doing a thing. But go on.
But they're saying it. I mean, Big G says stuff too, you know. Yeah. Well, but LeBron takes over the game from the three-point line, oddly. 34, 6, and 8. Tate, this is your guy, man. He follows it up with the Wizards overtime. 31.
Big ups to the GOAT King, man.
Follow that up back to back on a back to back 31-4-9 against the Wizards. OT.
31-4-9.
On a back to back at what? Did he turn 39 now?
He turned 39.
Yes.
Day for December.
That's filthy.
Yeah. And Big G sent me something earlier about Michael Jordan. What did you say, Big G?
I said people always talk about when the championship discussion comes out about Jordan, which he does, got six chips. What did he do them other 9 years? If you look at his 9 years that he didn't get the chips, the stats are almost very comparable. Him and LeBron's almost the same. When he went out in the playoffs, what he was doing, how he was getting handled. Come on, bro.
Jordan didn't make the playoffs 9 years or went out, got out early 9 years.
He missed it twice. You missed it twice.
That's not true. You missed it three times.
Well, that'd even make it worse. Because Bron only missed the playoff three times.
I think it's about time we stop calling LeBron the GOAT, though, man. It's about time we move past that. No. We gotta stop, Jay. We have to stop. Calling him the GOAT is disrespectful. Is disrespectful. And you know who is disrespectful to?
Who?
It's disrespectful to him. He's better than a GOAT.
Okay, yeah, all right. I was about to say.
He's at God level. Who at 39 is just doing this type of nonsense? Oh, that's crazy talk. Still.
Hold on.
Box office at 39.
We're going to have GOAT conversations at Mr. Stiller fan. It's going to say, what about Kobe Bryant? You got that Matrix handy, Tate?
No, Kobe up there, dog. Kobe up
there. Toss him in there.
Nope.
Come on, dog. Nope. Y'all ain't being fair. Kobe up there, bro.
Nope.
Give him a car in the Matrix. He ain't GOAT.
Yeah, Big G. Kobe's great. Kobe's probably top 10, but, man, Kobe.
Big G, you don't have him on Mount Rushmore.
No, I got him number 6.
Oh, there you go, right there. End of discussion.
Number six. Okay. I got him number 6.
So how can he be in GOAT talk, man?
If you're in the top 10 for me, you up there, bro. You a dog. It's your perspective. It's how you think. It's how you look at the who played against who, when, and how. That's why it's hard to compare different eras against different eras.
It's not that hard to compare different eras, though.
Talking about top 10 guys, though, I agree in this fact. Top 10 guys are like enjoy them. Like it's fun to debate over this stuff. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I mean, you're talking about the elite of all time. Mm-hmm. Simmer down. It's not a personal attack if you don't think somebody's number one.
And I done seen folks fight about LeBron and Jordan. I done seen actual fist fights behind that mess. Mm-hmm. At barbershops, at friends' house, in the backyard. Mugs just start, they get into it and it elevates. And the next thing you know, furniture getting moved around. I done seen it, bro, in my lifetime.
I've enjoyed a lot of popcorn watching people fight over nonsense like that.
Mm-hmm.
I love popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
Tate, you got something near you?
I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Come on now.
Friday fines.
I said Kobe, man, is not. I mean, Kobe was the man on two of his finals team.
Yeah,
definitely. And LeBron was the man on every finals team that he played on, even when he played with D-Wade and Kyrie and He didn't defer to nobody.
I'll take you one step further there, Tate. LeBron was the best player in almost every finals he played in. He played in 9 finals. I would say he was the best player on the floor for any team, at least 7 of them.
Oh, yeah. Even better than, even when he was young and he played against Duncan and Duncan.
Not that one. Okay. I'm talking not that one and definitely not the one in Dallas, but each one past that.
He's better than Steph and all of them, better than KD and all of them. These guys won.
Better than Jimmy Butler.
True.
Jimmy Butler, Kawhi Leonard. Andre Iguodala got their finals MVPs for holding LeBron to 32-10-8.
He was out there mopping them, mashing them. He mopped with no help.
Body. Big G outscored the Clippers 19-17 in the fourth quarter the other day.
Oh, yeah.
That's an old man doing that.
I was watching that game. The Lakers was down by about 20 early in the third quarter. I cut the TV off, so I'm going to sleep. I went the next day, and they came back and won.
They was down 21 in the fourth with 10 minutes and 28 seconds left, and Bron got to out there smoking them. That's why the Clippers is big trash. They ain't winning no chip. They ain't gonna smell the Western Conference Finals. They garbage.
Clippers aren't winning a title because they're the Clippers.
Yeah, big fact.
They're going to go further than the Suns.
We got Quiet Father says that Jordan doesn't go play baseball for 2 years. It wouldn't be in the discussion. Sorry, folks. Listen, that's if Bernard King doesn't blow out his knee when he's young, he might be on Mount Rushmore.
We'll never know. If Penny Hardaway don't get hurt or Grant Hill don't get hurt, we have another conversation too.
Mr. Stiller fan still in his feelings about Jordan. Listen, I'm not saying that I like LeBron James better than I like Jordan. Jordan will always be my guy. But I just objectively looking at it, LeBron is a GOAT.
Why do we act like Jordan? He decided to go play baseball. But when he came back, we forget that the Orlando Magic got him up out of here.
Quick.
When he came back, he was back.
Quick.
And then everybody just discounts his wizard years, man.
Uh-huh.
We just politely act like they didn't happen.
Uh-huh.
I'm Chicago. I don't. Telling you that LeBron's the GOAT.
If you put LeBron on them Wizard teams, they're going to the playoffs.
Yep. So, yep. And you act like they didn't stack the deck with the Bulls, Ron Harper, Tony Kukoc, and Dennis Rodman. You act like they didn't stack the deck.
Let me tell you something. That 96 team, it's a super team.
Dennis Rodman, they was out there killing a Pippen, Jordan. There's too many dudes.
And the Bulls won 55 games with Michael his first year out. Cleveland crumbled to nothing.
That's very true.
They crumbled to nothing when LeBron went to Miami.
Twice.
Right.
Yeah. With trash draft picks outside of Kyrie. The only dude they got right was Kyrie. That's it. Everybody else, nah. Get him out of here.
All right. So I think we've given LeBron his flowers enough.
Facts.
We all have now come to the consensus that SGA is taking that silver medal, right? What?
Who?
What? Shea Gilgeous Alexander, yeah, he's silver medal. You know, Luka's got that gold. But who should we keep
gold? Stop it. Gold, please stop it. Never gold.
I did that for you. I threw that in there for you. Who should we keep an eye on for the NBA stretch run? What team and or player do you think is going to make a splash here and make some noise, maybe even bounce somebody in the playoffs they shouldn't bounce? What do you think?
I got a clarification question. Are you talking about a team that'll move up in the standings or a team that comes playoff time is going to make a run?
Splash.
I would say playoff time. Unless they're going from outside of the play-in games into first round playoff. Like, you know what I mean? But I'm saying who's going to make and who's the player that's going to get them there? Who's going to be that catalyst?
Hey, man, OKC, dog. OKC. They're
number two standings. What do you mean?
They scary, though, bro. They ain't never been in the playoffs. Never.
Yes, they have. They've been in the finals before.
Dog, that's what KD and James – I'm talking about this team. With Chet Holmgren, Shea, Giddy. This team is brand new.
But they – I thought this the question about who's going to surprise. I mean, the team that's at the top – the team that has – the number that could be the number one seed. I don't know if that's a surprise, but I'm gonna let you finish. Go ahead, finish.
OKC could win the chip. They really that good. That OKC is really that good. And Phoenix, I'm trying to tell y'all, it's all on KD now. KD ain't got no excuse. It's all on KD. If KD got to show up, if KD show up, they're gonna be hard to beat because he got some dudes that can run with him. But, you know, that's just me, OKC and Phoenix.
So, I think out West, I think it's anybody's ball game. I don't think it's a surprise if any of them dudes get up, any of the top four seeds get upset in the first round. I don't think it's a shocker whatsoever. Golden State, they're tried and true. I don't think they're that good this year. But, I mean, you let them in, you know, you better take care of them. Same thing we said about Kansas City in the NFL playoffs. Lakers, we get done talking about God level James. Don't play with them. Who else? Who else is under below four? And like I said, anybody in the West can get hot and smoke out. But to answer the question, watch my boy JoJo MVB in the East. Once he comes back, gets his bearings underneath him. Watch out. Philly still they're treading water. They're about the fifth, sixth seed. They get JoJo back right in time. Let him get his feet underneath him. You're cooking. You're cooking.
Yeah, that Buddy Hill trade was huge. People don't realize. You'll see it once you get Embiid back. And they can space the floor with Buddy Hill, Harris, Maxey. Yeah, they're going to be out there causing problems. Mm-hmm. Right? Absolutely. If Embiid's healthy, they dangerous. I agree.
Mm-hmm. You know who's not dangerous?
Who?
The Bulls.
Big trash, but they beat us down the other night. You know that they had 80 rebounds. They beat us in double overtime, and they had 80 rebounds, and they had four dudes that had double doubles in scoring and rebounding. That's ridiculous.
I don't know if that stat is more impressive than the Bulls winning that game against you all a day after losing to the Detroit Pistons for the second time this season. I don't know which one is more impressive.
When I'm a Pistons fan, when the Pistons beat the Bulls, I picked up my phone to talk a little trash to you, Pay, and I was like, we're too damn horrible for me to do this. I can't do it in good faith. I set the phone back down.
I would have just forwarded your message to my buddy Q, co-host of the Bear Club. Like, go ahead. You talk about this.
Watch his head explode.
His head would have exploded.
Andre Drummond out there balling, though, bro.
Okay, enough of that.
You know,
Tate.
Killing.
Tate.
Yeah, 26 is some change.
Don't let G take this segment over. Tate, who you got? Who you got going to make some noise in this stretch run going into the playoffs, maybe even in the playoffs?
Well, Pay took everybody, didn't he? I mean, he took Golden State, he took the Lakers, he took the Sixers.
No, I did.
So I was going to say either the Lakers or the Sixers because I agree. I think the Lakers are right there, like 8 or 9 in the play-in right now. But AD and LeBron have been healthy for the majority part of the year. And I think when playoff comes and things slow down and matchups are more a thing that we lean into, mismatches and picking on stuff, I think the Lakers have a whole bunch of defenders. They just got to get some shooting. D'Angelo Russell been playing good for the last month and a half, been playing really well. And I like, and your boy Austin Reeves turns it up when playoff times come. But they got a bench with the big boy Jackson Hayes. They got the kid, what's his name? Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt, Rui. They got picked up Spencer Dinwiddie, even though he's been playing good. He's been in like 5 or 6 games, maybe 7. But yeah, they're gonna be a team that, that nobody was playing the first round.
I like it. Listen, I thought the easy kind of pick here because of recent history would have been to take the Heat because, again, they've won 7 out of the last 10. Mm-hmm. They're starting to, you know, play a little bit better. Hopefully they figure out Scary Terry, how he fits into that team, because they look worse with him than they look without him.
That's exactly why I'm not convinced. Yep.
So, Rozier, but
out there looking big trash.
But really looking at it, I like the Pacers, man. I like the Pacers. Facts. In the East. I think the way they get out and defend and get out on a break and can shoot the ball, you know, 3 and D, got a couple of 3 and D players, athletic, long wingspans. I could see them, you know, with a good upset in the playoffs.
I tell you who I'm not afraid of, Boston. In fact, I'm not afraid of any team that wear green. Boston, Milwaukee.
They just beat the brake shoes off the Dallas Mavericks.
They wear green too. Not worried about them either.
The brakes off Boston, of them.
Boston's won 9 out of the last 10.
They ain't gonna do it in the playoffs. Brakes
off of them. 138-110, smashed.
And you know beat who else brakes shoes off of them? Doc Rivers.
Milwaukee.
The deer. So do you? I mean, is that a Doc Rivers thing or is that a Jason Tatum thing? Because Jason Tatum's got to get to the finals.
Will he?
He has to. He has to make his legacy, right?
Yeah.
He has to.
A little early on his legacy. How old is Jason Terry? I mean, Jason Tatum.
Like 22, 23, something like that.
Nah, that can't be that young.
24?
Something like that.
I'm about to look.
You're thinking of who just turned 23? Luca turned 24?
Yeah.
Jason Tatum will be 25
on the 3rd.
His legacy's got a lot of time to play out. But he ain't
Luca's 25. Yeah, so the same age. Mm-hmm. So Luca and him are the same age.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be 26. Luca just turned 25 yesterday. Only person to get a 30-point triple-double on his birthday?
2 days ago, 28.
28?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah,
Halliburton.
Halliburton just had his 6th birthday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Greatest 6-year-old of all time.
Leap year. Beast. Out there killing him.
All right,
he should be in your GOAT talks, to be honest with you.
The greatest leap year.
Yeah, I feel it, no doubt.
Shannon Plouffe says the Knicks will be quiet in the playoffs too.
Probably.
I don't know about all that.
Yeah, come on, man.
I don't know about all that defense, man.
You're not allowed to have bias. You jumped off that train.
Yeah, you did.
I understand that. But that defense, man, make a difference, man.
Hold on.
They play D.
Hey, I said that wrong. John Starks pushed you off that train in oncoming traffic.
Yeah, he did.
And you ended up in Cleveland.
And then Carmelo backed up over and ran me over 3 times. He backed up and ran me over, backed up and ran me over, backed up and ran me over. And that
Freaky
was it.
Freaky Friday.
Wow. Ran me over 3 times. 3 times.
And he landed on Euclid Avenue.
Joe did. Oh, no, I landed on Kinsman and Chagrin, baby. I'm over there in the hood. I landed on Kinsman.
I'm assuming Euclid Avenue is where the Cavs play.
No, Euclid. That's out. Oh, okay. I'm on Chagrin. That's why I'm at on Chagrin. Or Kinsman.
Fuggish, rugged phone.
You right, man. Euclid Avenue go right through town, right through the city.
Bro, listen, I lived in Cleveland, bro, for 2 years. Kinsman and Chagrin is not good. It's not good. Believe me. I lived there for 2 years.
I just said it goes right through the city. So
it do.
And it's probably the most noteworthy street in Cleveland. Euclid Ave.
Lee Boulevard. Lee Boulevard and Kinsman. Number 1 and 2. And then 79th.
Which block is Bow Wow from?
Lee Boulevard.
Bow Wow from Columbus.
Oh.
Short North. Columbus, Ohio. Mm. I used to work with his cousin at the Foot Locker.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Short North.
So we've had 0 fork in a row.
Yeah.
Like they like what you're talking about.
I just think that's I think it's because of my rundown. My rundown was too good. We're gonna have to jumble it up next time, talk about some trash. But it's one that more, time
one more thing on LeBron. He was working out with.
Take a look, Myles Garrett working out with LeBron James, and throwing around some pretty decent weight there. This from Myles Garrett's Instagram as he and LeBron James going through workout. LeBron James was asked, actually post game, he kind of talked about that as well.
And then lastly, we saw the Instagram video of you and Myles Garrett working out. What was that like?
I mean, he's an absolute beast. Defensive player of the year for a reason, and is going to continue to be great. So, you know, I've always felt like it's my job to continue to show the next generation the way, show them the blueprint, no matter regardless of sport. So it was a pleasure for me, and I hope it was for him as well. You know, just two kids just trying to be great.
They're going forward to road, B. Dirt.
Afton Ford, the captain. So she's enjoying Max Melton when rewatching today's combine.
Big facts,
Afton. I know Max Melton too, out of Rutgers, right? He's just a little short, 5'11", but he's solid. He's physical. But yeah, I'm all with Terry and Arnold and Quinyon Mitchell.
That's a good. Kind of nickelback though, slot corner.
Yeah, third or fourth round. Third or fourth round, if that's where you're going, third round, maybe fourth.
That's a good. They had him listed at 6 feet, so he's probably 5'11".
I think he measured 5'11" and 3'8", something like that. I think that was his height.
Can't round up.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know how I go. You at the combine, they be putting you right on the, right on the thing.
All right, so we're going to transition into our third and final sport for the evening. By the way, don't even get me started about 299 next week. We'll talk about that next week on Overtime. Sugar Show, Dustin Poirier, there's some bad boys. Blades is in the undercar, man. Come if you're in Pittsburgh, come over to my house. I'm gonna make some gumbo. Quiet Father Chris Jenkins looked good yesterday. Quiet Father joined us late, obviously, for the Homies podcast because I was trying to recruit him for the Bengals. Big G has blocked me from doing so.
Total blocked.
Gumbo is not a fight food.
It is when Dustin Poirier fights, baby, Louisiana. Now, Pay, there will be some other things going on.
Okay. All right.
My gumbo is fire. I
believe you.
I'm telling you.
Hey, Dennis, if Jenkins is there in the second, if Jenkins is there in the second with our pick, I'm taking
Bengals him. Snatch him.
If he's there at the second, I'm taking him. If he's there. If he's on the board in the second, we can't wait. We got to go get him.
All right. We figured out where people want us to stray. Baseball, no one wants to hear about it, but we're going to talk about it. We all have different teams in baseball. We don't pair up on this one. So what we're going to take a quick look at here is spring training. Each one of our teams get a little insight here. Basically, who to watch out for from your respected team. Somebody's going to have a breakout season or a comeback season, and give us a prediction on how many wins they're going to get. We're going to start off with you, Big G, and your Philadelphia Phillies. That's right, Pittsburgh Steelers fans. This guy likes a Philadelphia team. Go ahead, Big G.
I've been down with the Phillies, man, for a long time, since Mike Schmidt, man. So that's just my squad. That's who I like. Oh, you don't have to believe it. I got pictures to prove mine, bro. All I got to do is pull out a chest with some jerseys and some T-shirts on. I got it, bro. But anyway – Whit Merrifield is who I like, man. Second baseman for the Philadelphia Phillies. He's coming. He's been an all-star before. He's a serviceable interior baseman. He's going to probably play second. There's talking about possibly even moving him to first. So we're going to see how it plays out in the preseason. You know, the Phillies is my squad. And every year as it gets closer and closer towards playoff time is where the Phillies start really grinding. So I think this year the Phillies going to end up around 86 and 76, but you don't want to play us in the playoffs. That's all I'm saying. And the proof is in the pudding. Look what's going to happen the last 2-3 years in the playoffs with the Philadelphia Phillies. We represent. So you can't get mad, can't argue. 86 wins, that's a good number. So I like the Phillies this year going into the season. But Witt is my dude.
So you slide from 90 wins last year to 86 this year.
Yeah.
What causes that slide for you?
Probably guys that we're going to have on the IR at the very beginning of the season and probably having to get our younger pitchers a little bit more established. I think that's going to happen. And trying to figure out this rotation, you know, because, you know, Bryce Harper is the guy, but then, you know, what are you going to put up around him? You know, and so last year, some of them youngsters showed up, man, and some of them old schools showed up. So I like the Phillies to maybe lose a little bit less than they won last year, but definitely in the playoffs this year.
I know why you're out on the slide. Everybody's upset about you all taking away Dollar Dog Night. No more Dollar Dogs for you Philly guys. No more glizzy tosses. That's why you guys on the slide.
That's big facts. That is true. Big facts. They are upset about it.
You couldn't pick nobody younger than Whit Merrifield to tell us about that joke. I'm damn near older than you.
Dog, we a bunch of veterans, bro. What you talking about? Ain't nobody got a bunch of babies like the Reds got. But the Reds got to get in there and prove it. I like wily veterans playing for the Phillies.
Speaking of the Reds,
that's them got us to the chip. So, you know.
No, we're gonna save the Reds. We're gonna save the Reds for the end. We're gonna go Tigers. I'm gonna go my team next. I'm gonna let you two fight that out at the end. Detroit Tigers last year had 78 wins. I got a 5 better this year, 83. I'm gonna get 83 and 79.
Okay.
My breakout is right here on the screen for those of you watching on YouTube. Riley Green, left-handed hitting center fielder, number one overall pick, 2021 draft, and came up in 22, only hit like 250, kind of had some flashes, but last year looked like he was going to have a little bit of a – started having a breakout year, hitting almost 290 when he got hurt. This year, I think he gets up over that 300 mark. I expect him to stay healthy this year. It was kind of a freak accident. It wasn't like, it was kind of a freak thing. I don't think it was a big deal. So I don't expect him to be like soft tissue injured all the time. But I look at him, I think maybe he hits 318 this year, has over 20 home runs. So that's kind of where I'm at with him. I think he's going to have a really, really good breakout season. He very, very good defender as well. Fun to watch. I'm looking forward to him being back in the lineup. Got some good young arms, but, unproven. We're going to need some of those guys if we want to make a playoff run, which I think is a little bit of a stretch for us, even though we finished second in the division was a little bit down last year. In order for us to make a playoff run, we're gonna have to really get a couple guys in that pitching rotation to step up.
Got to stay healthy too, B Dirt. But if y'all stay healthy, y'all gonna make y'all a nice team. Y'all good team. I like
good Detroit. Good young team.
Yeah.
All right. So for those of you playing along at home, Cubs and the Reds are the last two, and I saved them for the last two. On purpose, because we have a friendly wager between the two of you on here every year about the Cubs and the Reds. Is it head-to-head or is it overall wins? Because overall wins was 83 for the Cubs and 82 for the Reds. I don't know what head-to-head was. What Pay, I'll let you take it.
Yeah, we won the season series once again.
So it's season series? Is that's what the friendly bet is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's both. It's each series and it's season.
Yeah, that's true. Tate is correct.
Got a lot going on there.
So you got the dubs in both? You got the dubs in both, Pay? Dubs in both?
Yeah, we did. 2023, we did take care of both.
All right, Pay, tell us about your Cubbies this year.
All right, so about my Cubs, but before I get to that, you both were wrong about your player to watch. It's going to be Kyle Schwarber and Javi Baez, El Mago. But moving past that,
I'd like to watch Javi Baez move out,
knock it off, dirty.
I'll tell you right now, I'd split the truck. I'd split the moving cost.
Yeah, go stay over there. You stay over there in Chicago, bro. Stay up out of Philadelphia. You ain't got
you have it back.
Yeah, stay up over there. We know what's going on over in our
school. So I got the Cubs going 89-73 this season, which is, as Dirt said, a six-game improvement. The player I got to look out for, Chris Morel. The reason why, because he's going to take a step forward. He's going to be an everyday player this time. His bat is electric. That guy weighs about, 180? But he swings a heavy bat, pause, and he puts balls in the stands, pause again. So
big balls.
He's going to be an everyday player. They're testing him out at third base, and with our new manager, Craig Counsell, if he can figure that out on the hot corner, boy, he might be the best player in the division. Just saying.
The best in the division?
Just saying. Maybe.
Oh, that's saying a lot, Pay. That's saying a lot. The best in the division.
We already did that one.
Yeah, we did that.
My bad.
Yeah, it could be best in the division for the division winning team.
All right. Let's go finish this out. Tate, are you Reds going to chase down those Cubbies this year? Are you going to get your money back from Pay?
No.
Almost 100, pushing 100. Ooh, boy.
That's what we're going to be doing, pushing 100. We're not going to chase them down. We're going to get so far out front, be dirty. They're going to be chasing us all year. I expect the Cubs to be the competition in the division. I expect Milwaukee to be down a little bit in St. Louis. Not worried about them guys. But, yeah, man, the young guys are all back a year ahead of schedule. I picked us to go 96-66, pushing 100. That's a 14-game improvement from last year. But our pitching is much stronger this year. We had a lot of pitchers hurt last year. We just throwing anybody out there in the mound. Oh, my goodness. It was so terrible last year, the starting pitching. Hunter Green's ready to be an ace. You got Graham Ashcraft, Nick Lodolo. You got Morey from the Oakland A's. He was been hurt, but he was a good pitcher prior to that for the Yankees for a few years. So yeah, man, we just loaded this year, man. And you guys will see starting in about 3 weeks. But my player to watch is Will Benson. Will Benson is right fielder. We picked him up in a trade at the end of the season in 22 from the Cleveland Guardians. And he has a good bat, a lot of power. I mean, he's like 6'4", 225, big kid. Great fielder, great arm in the field. His problem is he struggles with left-handed hitting, pitching. So, you know, he hit probably about 10 home runs last year from the nine hole. So he's probably the best nine hole hitter in the game. But we're hoping to get that production more consistently with left hand pitching this year. I mean, like I said, he's going to get every opportunity to be the starting right fielder. You got Jake Fraley out there, another young guy, Spencer Fairchild. But he's who I look to have a bounce probably. Probably bat 280, hit about 28 to 30 dings. So the Reds, I'm so excited, man. I haven't been this excited since following the 1990 World Series.
A couple of things.
What's that?
A couple of things. The winner of the NL Central is going to have between 87 and 90. 91, 92 wins. Something about that. Somewhere in that. They're about the weakest division in all of baseball. So it's going to be about that, about 87 and 92. And one thing I did notice, all of us got our teams finishing over 500. I think If anybody's team doesn't finish over 500, that's a corner. That's some corner time is in store. You all agree?
Zero chance, because my team had the least amount of wins last year, and I picked them for the least amount of wins this year.
But over 500, though? Over 500?
Zero chance I take that bet. I got them. I've got them like two games over 500.
Can I write this down? Can I write this down?
You have them two games over 500.
I am opting out. 83 and 79. Hey, 81 and 81 is 500.
I'm sick of it, B. Stand on it. Be strong. Be strong with your takes. Be strong. Be like Cam Newton.
I'm being strong on my takes.
I need you.
Sometimes it takes more strength to say no than it does to say yes. Period. End of story. Listen, take Tate's 96 wins with a grain of salt. He also predicted the Reds and the Guardians in the World Series last year. So, we're going to wrap this up. We got a little long-winded. We're a little bit over our normal hour. Mostly, to be honest with you, because I planned on kicking one of these topics out because of how many fork in the roads we normally have, but we didn't have any until late, so we just powered through it. You guys over in the chat, we appreciate you. We had a lot of the normal people over here. We had Tim. We had Afton. We had the Quad Father. We had Gavin Anthony, Shannon Plou. Who do I miss over here? Mr. Woodsey. Dennis, yeah, we got all this. Jeremiah Yoder. We appreciate all you guys. Thank you so much. Make sure you hit that like, subscribe, share us with a friend. And till next week, you can check us out all over the Fans First Sports Network. All you know by now, we've got the Cubs. We got the North. We've got the bulletin board. We got the Cavs. Big G is on every show on Steel Curtain Network. Tate's on 3/4 of those shows. So check us all out. Pay, take us home, and we'll see you next week.
Arrest Brett Favre.